And the time will be our time, and the grass will be no mine.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me questions at bruce@brucesalen.com, and you can certainly follow me on Twitter at Bruce Salen. It is time for Family Financial Matters with Jim Scheinberg. Jim Scheinberg is the managing partner of North Peer Fiduciary Management. He has been advising institutions and families on their investments for over 20 years, and he has been my personal and family's financial advisor for almost that long as well. So I do offer my personal endorsement without a question. Welcome back to the show, Jim.
Hi there, Bruce.
It's good to speak to you. I actually want to speak to you offline at the end of the segment, if you don't mind. So we're talking about financial responsibility, and of course the column I wrote was somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but I got to tell you, I was really angry. Here I thought I'd done everything right, and people that do things highly irresponsibly get aid, get loans, and I sat down with you when my first wife was pregnant with my son, who's now about to go off to college, and we started planning, and yet I feel like I'm getting punished. What the heck is this?
Well, Bruce, you know the whole joke about if you want to make God laugh, make a plan.
Well, yeah, of course. I use that all the time.
Right? Well, but it's true. And so, you know, look, I actually loved your article because I as well as with the financial aid issue, I also share your ire, if you will, at the way the system has gone. Nothing got, and you and I used to talk about that ad nauseum, about the what happened with the mortgage situation, that if two people bought the same, you know, the same brand new house in a development back in 2007, and one of them had saved diligently for 10 years and put a big down payment down, got a really responsible mortgage, and made their payments on time, and the other one had qualified for the no money down and spent everything and then got upside down on their mortgage. Well, you know, the way that turned out was the government program stepped in and gave the money and the write downs to the irresponsible person, even though both of them bought at the same exact time. So it's not any different when you deal with financial aid in a way than it is under that exact same scenario. You could have two people, they sit one cubicle away from each other at a company, one of them plows money away for retirement, savings, and their children's education, and the other one's off gallivanting around, doesn't save a dime, and all of a sudden, here comes aid time, and who's the one who gets left with the short straw?
And the irony is the numbers, the breakpoint, which Jody will elaborate on a little more in segment four, the number of the amount of money you have to have to qualify, or the amount of money you don't have to have to qualify for financial aid, is incredibly little. So if you saved anything, I'm not talking about millions. I'm just talking about if you have $75,000 of equity in your house, you won't qualify for much of anything. It's astonishing to me that the way it now works. You know, there was a LA Times article that came out on the 4th of this month. The headline says, "Rising Student Debt, a Threat to the Recovery." And it says that, in essence, that it's surging above $1 trillion, the U.S. student loan debt, and it surpassed credit card and auto loan debt. And that this debt explosion jeopardizes the fragile recovery, increases the burden on taxpayers, and possibly sets the stage for a new economic crisis. And I'm going, what the? The whole thing. I mean, I'm irritated beyond belief.
Well, I mean, I think you have a right to be, but we got to remember that, you know, the student debt situation is also a snapshot in time. Got high unemployment, especially for people just coming into the workforce out of those situations. So there's a lot of debt that's in default. It's very difficult for a lot of people to pay their debt at this particular moment in time. I don't necessarily know, and I'm not saying I'm pro or con on this, but I don't necessarily know if it is really a long-term epidemic or whether or not it just happens to be this moment in time. But, I think it's really important for people to recognize that if you do plan to be self-sufficient, I mean, you know, yes, it's true. In your article, you point out, we started 17, 18, 19 years ago sticking money away. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, we started sticking money away before your son was even born.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, literally pre-planning, in prenatal investing, if you will. And you see how things worked out. The cost of college, which we already expected to be incredibly aggressive in terms of its acceleration, was even more so. And then what ended up happening was we put money away, but not necessarily enough.
Well, and the irony of the art.
You did plan.
No, I agree with you. The irony is that in the article I referenced from the LA Times, they say part of the reason tuition has come up is because the colleges know there's so much financial aid available to the families that can't afford it. So they keep on raising tuition. So who can afford? Who ends up paying? Me and you.
Right.
And it's bull crap. I'm sorry. It's just not right. You know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It certainly is. And, you know, a lot of institutions now basically actually waive tuition based on need as well. So if you've got money, they'll take it. And if you don't, then they won't charge you. I mean, Harvard's a perfect example of where the endowment really lifts the people who can't afford to access that education.
The average cost for the Harvard entering freshman is less than a California state college for exactly that reason. There was an article in a Northern California paper that spelled it out, and it was stunning to think that going to a Cal State college would cost more than going to Harvard on average.
Yep. So there's a grand moral in this story, in my opinion, and it's not that we should get upset because the government programs don't benefit us when it works out, you know, not in our advantage. It's actually the exact opposite, which is don't plan. It's okay if you get 20 years down the road and there are loans available or there are programs available to help your children go to school. But don't rely on them just because they're here today. Just because the Pell Grants were there back when I went to college doesn't mean that my kids would be available to receive those as readily. And my parents had reasonable means back then, nothing like the litmus test of today. And so what's the great parallel that has nothing to do with education, that people are very divided on whether or not they should be relying on this government program to be there when they fast forward into the future? Social Security.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you bet.
And so if you're relying on the government or the programs or the institutions to be there way, way down the road as your only resource, then what happens when you get there and all of a sudden the game has changed?
Well, I'm upset, as you can hear, but I also am very grateful to the good counsel you gave me, the good way in which me and my two wives, as it turned out, have lived our lives. My son got into the Berklee College of Music. He has friends from his school that got in that will not be going there because their families are of modest means, but enough means for which they do not get enough aid to afford to go. So they're not going. So my son is actually finally getting a little dose of, wow, my dad did good. And I'm very happy that I can afford to send him there. But I got to tell you, I just got back from a heliskiing trip. That may be the last one I go on in a long time because of spending this money for my son. And it's a willing sacrifice, but it just doesn't feel fair to me.
Well, far too often things in life aren't fair, and that's why we have to plan to be self-sufficient as much as we possibly can, financially and otherwise.
Well, Jim,
I think it's the great moral here, which is it's unfortunate that the conditions that you outlined in your article exist in this country, especially for those who only sort of prepared. As you said, they get caught in the crosshairs because college is so expensive.
Right, right, right.
They're somewhat responsible, but so they're not super needy, but they're not super able either. That's really unfortunate that there's that, and it's probably a very big, big middle group.
I imagine. Jim, let me interrupt. We're out of time. I need to make sure that our listeners know how to reach you.
By all means. Your listeners can always get in touch with us and also subscribe to our newsletter, which we're about to come out with the spring issue in about a week. by reaching out to info@npier.com. That's info@npier.com. Just tell us you want the newsletter and you'd like to learn more about what we do.
Terrific.
And the other way is, of course, I believe, Bruce, we still have a link through your website at bruceallen.com so they can reach us there as well.
Yeah, I didn't take it off. I was thinking about it, but I think I still left it there.
Thanks. I'm glad we earned a spot.
you're a permanent fixture. Thank you. Hang on a minute. I do want to talk to you briefly afterwards. By the way, Jim offers consultations on an individual basis or an ongoing basis. I have an ongoing relationship with him, and I believe in many ways it saved my life. So whether it's Jim or someone else, you need to be conscious of money and be smart. I recommend Jim, but that's up to you. Stay tuned for Teen Wrap with Pastor Drew Sams.
A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plan.